Thanks for joining us for the Liberty Church Podcast. We pray that this message inspires you to change the world around you. For more information about Liberty Church, you can visit us at libertyofomaha.com. Thanks again for joining us, and have a great day.
Privilege. I know some of you, it was a great effort to be here today. You will not be sorry. God will meet you at your level of expectation. I have big expectation today. And I think you should too. So let's just invite the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, thank you. Thank you, God, that we can depend on you in any situation, at any moment. Father, and we invite you into this room, Lord. Come and speak through me, Father. I ask that you touch each and every heart in this room, including myself, that those who need healing will be healed, that those who need clarity of mind will have clarity of mind, that those who need hope will have hope, that those who are suffering from a broken heart will be restored. In Jesus' name, God, we thank you for sudden good breaks in this place today, Jesus. We honor you for it. We honor you for it, God. We thank you for it, Jesus. We expect it. We expect it. Our ears are open. Our heart is open. And oh, Jesus, do what only you can do today. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. I find it very funny that in the beginning of my notes that Pastor Brandon so graciously prints for me, there's these pictures of my dad and my an entire thing of me as a child, so yeah, let's skip that. There's my brothers, and by the way, my oldest brother Mike is holding a cat, which my dad's allergic to. Did we have a cat? Yes. Did we have two cats? Yes, we did. And then,
did my page work?
Yeah, that thing lived downstairs, but man, wowza. My parents and Mike Schaub again, eating. I always get Mike Schaub eating in these. It's really great. And generally, it's because he was serving and he was the last one to eat. So it's like people would grab a picture of him by the time he got his food. So are you guys ready for the word today? I know I am. I'm also ready. I don't like to just believe God for relief and deliverance. I like to pay back as well. So I like to, when the enemy comes at your life, receiving healing from me, not enough. I would like to make him a bloody mess. So I'm a little, my attitude's a little different when I get an attack or something. It does not sadden me, and I don't sit in a corner and go, woe is me. To be truthful, it ticks me off. I would have used another word, but there's kids. I'm not going to do that. But it really does. So today, let's go. Turn your Bibles to Matthew 15. Do you have your Bibles? I hope you have your Bibles. If you don't have a Bible, raise your hand. We will get one to you. I want you to have a Bible. Everybody has one? Oh, yeah. Okay. Let's go ahead and turn to chapter 15, and then I'll read it in a moment. We've been studying the healings that took place on earth during Jesus' earthly ministry. I think it's been incredible. And then the last time I spoke, which was 2 weeks ago? Yes. the Lord just kind of changed the plan, and we talked about Esther. If you didn't get that, we went a very different way with it, and it'll bless you. So get the podcast, or I think, Ms. Deborah, do we have any CDs of that? Okay. And I want you to have it. I want you to listen to it. We're going to continue now on some of the healings of the Bible, and I had one that's going to take 2 weeks. That's not the one we're doing, but this one also is going to take 2 weeks. It's just too much to get through, so, but it's great. I think that in the Word of God, nothing was there by accident. No and, no but is there by accident. It is there for a specific purpose. So I believe we should pay attention to it. And because I believe if every word's important, every story is vital for us to know, because God could have put tons of other things in the Bible. I mean, if you really think about it, all that took place, there would not be one book. It would be a never-ending, unreadable book. You'd be reading it for the rest of your life. So he made the Bible so that you had everything you need, and it was doable, and you could read it, and it had all the answers for you in life. How awesome that we got the answer key. I loved those tests in school. Like, and you can use your answer key. And I was like, ooh, baby. I was meant for this. Get ready. So how many of you were like that? Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Deb. I knew you'd be on my side. I loved the answer key, which is why I love the Bible, because it's the answer key. And it's not one where you have to, it's not an algebra equation and you don't have to figure out stuff. It's just, it's plain. So we're going to go to Matthew today. And this is a different story, one that I've gotten things from it, but I've never studied it the way that I studied it this time, and I learned a great deal. But this is the story, Matthew 15, of a Gentile showing her faith. Now, to give you a little prelude, Gentiles and Jews did not mix. And they did not live in the same towns. So Jews were known as the chosen people. They had a covenant with God. We see that all throughout the Bible. And Gentiles did not. And so reading this, you're going to come to find out how good your God is. And I really believe for somebody in the room, it's gonna change your life. So would you just go there? I'm going to read the entire thing, which if you think about it, it's verses 21 through 28, and I need 2 weeks. Either there's something wrong with me or he has a lot to say. So let's go to verse 21. I'm going to read the full thing, and then we're going to dissect as we go. Are you there? Okay. Then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre's fun. Let's do that. Tyre. What should the next word be? Call it out. Sidon. Sidon. Tyre and Sidon. We'll do that. Okay. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him. Now, this woman was a Gentile. These were not Jewish places. These were where only Gentiles lived. That's very significant. A woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him. Who's him? Jesus. Saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed. Another translation says vexed, severely vexed. And it says, but he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, send her away, for now she's crying out to us, because he didn't say anything. And they're like, he's not here to preach to you. We're not preaching here. We're not teaching here. What did Jesus do? He went around preaching, teaching, and healing. He's like, none of those things are on the agenda today. And so she goes to the disciples and urged him, saying, send her away, for she cries out after us. But he answered and said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. What does that mean? I was sent for the Jews. But he answered and said, oh wait, house of Israel, 25, I almost went to 26. Then she came and worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. Which means this is my chosen people's bread. I have a covenant with them. Like, they have first dibs. Which, when you read it like this, it sounds like, wow, you are rude. Hello. But he wasn't. There was a purpose. And she said, now underline this, yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs from which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. That speaks, just reading it, you're going to like it more once we go through it. So notice this, her case was not necessarily a physical sickness. And it wasn't her. She didn't have a physical sickness. A lot of the ones we've done, there was a physical sickness. This was not. Hers was a case in which she needed deliverance from the power of the devil. Now she's a Gentile. They have all sorts of weird things that they worship and, you know, just bizarre. So nothing about her, she's not a Christian, she's not saved, Jesus has not went to the cross. And even the disciples were like, man, the audacity. And Jesus did what he needed to do to get her to have faith, to ask the right questions. And to be delivered is a flow of health and healing. It's a flow of health and healing. The same power that flows to heal, that comes to heal mentally, to heal physically, also comes to deliver people from the power of the devil. So go with me back to verse 21. All right. Then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. So these were regions, just so you know, where only Gentiles lived. That was it. Not where Jews lived. They did not communicate. So Jesus was telling this Gentile woman, I'm sent to the Jews. I'm sent to those that have a covenant with me. You don't have a covenant with me. So I asked myself this, self. If he was not going to teach, preach, or heal, and that he didn't have a covenant with any of these people, why did he go through this town? What's the point? Why were these on the list? Why? You're taking time going through these places in which they don't have a covenant with you, and you're not going to do the three things. That's where my mind went. And it says that the Jews had no interaction with the Gentiles. And you read this all throughout the Bible, even after everybody had a covenant. The Jews still just had something to complain about, generally. But the Gentiles had no covenant with God, so they wouldn't intermingle. Ponder this with me. Although at this time they had no covenant with God, Jesus was walking through that region to see the faces of those who would soon be in covenant with him. Amen. Why? Because he knew what he was going to endure. And when you know what you're going to endure, Jesus taught us right here without even saying anything, just by where he went, I'm going to need to see their face so I do my job. And the hardest parts where I think I can't go on any further, I need to see their faces. Vision is important, and that's what he taught us there. Is before I go and I do what I'm about to do, I need to see who I'm doing it for. I need a face. In the hard moments, I need to see that little girl's face. In the hard moments, I need to see that man's face. It was like he was almost doing this on purpose. Not just walking through the territories, but it was also a message to them that he was walking through going, hey, help's coming. Help is coming. Covenant, it's coming. It's coming soon. It's not going to be like this forever. Covenant's coming. Do you know, some of you need to know, it's not going to be like this forever. This is temporary. If you're going through something and you're thinking, because I have been there, how will I ever get out of this? Will I ever feel anything different? Will this problem ever go away? Will my family member ever turn to Jesus? This is temporary. It's temporary. Help is coming. And also he was saying, help is here. It's me. Help is here. See my face. I'm going to do it, and I'm going to do it for you. In other words, you could put it like this. He was looking over his harvest. Everywhere he walked, he was looking over his harvest. Now, do you think when he saw those faces, they were the only ones he could see? No, he saw generations to come from them. He was looking at a harvest. He sees the end from the beginning. Did that change just because he was walking on earth? No. He could see the end from the beginning. Now, he saw these people's faces, but in their faces, he saw the faces that were coming. And he was saying, oh, help is here. Covenant is coming. He was going to pay the price for all men. And he wanted their faces imprinted in his mind and in his heart. Greatest agony anyone could ever face, crucifixion. And he kept the vision right in front of him. That tells you a lot about where you should look. Yeah. Greatest agony. Maybe you feel like that was today. Maybe you feel like that was this week. Maybe you feel like that's what it's been this season. Keep your eye on the vision. this is temporary. Help is coming. This is temporary. I have a covenant. It's not even that you will have a covenant. You and I in this room, we have it. We have a covenant. Can you imagine? I'm so grateful that, can imagine the hopelessness of these people that didn't have a covenant. And you and I have one every day of our life. Merritt Weiss told me, he said, aren't you even going to act like you have a covenant with God? Good point. Yes. Yes, I will. I will. This is also another lesson of how important it is to tangibly see the vision. Because he could have just known where they were. I'm dying for all the people in Tyre. I'm dying for them, and I'm dying for... But he had to go and see the vision himself. Because you knowing something and you seeing something are very different. Jesus was not there to announce. He was there to recognize. He was there to get a vision and a picture of, I'm gonna die for you. I'm gonna die for you. Help is coming. Covenant is coming. So this girl, she goes again. She says, oh Lord, was he her Lord? No. Had she ever heard him preach, teach, or see him heal someone? No, he wasn't there to do that. So she had heard about him, and her hearing was enough for her to have faith. She said, Lord, she's not in covenant yet. Covenant hadn't been opened up yet, but she says, Lord, have mercy on me. O Lord, Son of David, my daughter is severely demon possessed. Now in the book of Mark, we're reading out of Matthew today, but in the book of Mark, he records it this way, that she had heard of Jesus. Obviously, she had to have heard something good about Jesus. Wouldn't you say? To think, I'm going to find this guy, and he's going to help me. He is going to help me. Because if she had heard something bad, chances are she wouldn't have believed that he could help. He wasn't preaching, teaching, and healing, so there's no way she had ever heard him or seen him. She heard about it from somewhere, and it was a good report. She must have heard that he set people free, that there were healings, that he was the Messiah, that's what she came for. What does that mean? It means it really matters what you hear about Jesus. Because you'll believe what you hear. That's why if you hear the wrong thing about Jesus, you'll believe the wrong thing about him. If you hear that Jesus put sickness on you to teach you, you're going to believe the wrong thing about Jesus. But if you hear the right thing, like John 10:10 says that Jesus said this, that Satan comes to kill, rob, steal, and destroy, but I came, Jesus, so that you would have life, and life more abundantly. There are two choices. There are two things that have come. He said, Satan came and I came. And he said what Satan came for and what he came for. But if somebody tells you, you know, Jesus just needed another little angel in heaven, or, you know, I had somebody tell me once, you've been so sick so much of your life. I just don't understand it, but I guess you're going through it for a reason. God, you know, he gives his toughest battles to his strongest soldiers. And I said, you're so dumb. Gotta love my cushion around things. Could have said it better, but I was young. But even then, I knew what I knew. And you weren't gonna tell me something wrong about Jesus, because I knew that verse. And I knew that if it fell under killing, stealing, robbing, or destroying, it was the devil. And I knew if it was life and abundance, it was from Jesus. Maybe today you've heard the wrong thing, but now you've heard the right thing. And it can change today. Jesus made it very clear who was behind what. And people will say, well, God has everything under, you know, he's in control of everything. I'm like, not if it's killing, stealing, robbing, or destroying, he's not. That's why people get mad at God and they don't understand God. But it's because they believe something wrong about God. Are you with me today? I hope so. The Bible says that Satan is the god of this world. That's no capital G. It's a lowercase. And Adam handed that over. Little Schnickelfritz, man. He just handed it over. God knew it was going to happen, though. And all of the names, I think I said that the last time, all of the names from there of people, they actually prophesied of the Messiah coming. When you became born again, you switched places. Yes. Now, to where now you are in this world, but you're not of it. So the devil can be running a rampage, causing division, which he doesn't have power. He just can lie, and then you end up doing dumb stuff. But if you understand this, that when you became born again, all of the sudden, everything switched spiritually. It switched in you naturally, everything, but I'm saying the enemy could see it. Because now, instead of you, who's he's not really worried about because you're not really doing anything, just keep you miserable and make you believe bad stuff about God and yada, yada, negative, and the world hates me, it's out to get me, what else could go wrong today? If it's going to go wrong, it's going to happen to me. Okay, that would be who you were. But when you come in as a born-again Christian, you now, when you're walking, wherever you're walking, you look like Jesus. And you have keys in your hand. It's like, yeah, I'm in this world, but I'm in charge, baby. I own the keys to your house. If you have that attitude, that why would I be afraid? I have the keys to your house. I say the name of Jesus and you shudder. What a wimp. Think of yourself how God sees you and how he made you. He made you in charge based on what he did, not what you did. You inherited keys. It matters what you hear. And I've heard an immense amount of people say, well, you know, God needed another angel. How many of you have heard that? Don't even be ashamed if you've said it. Listen, humans don't become angels. When you get to heaven, you don't turn into an angel. And if he needed more angels, he'd make them. He would make more angels. Why would he need you? He didn't need you for anything else. He created the whole world, but all of a sudden, he needs more angels. He's never in need. Your God is never in need. Never in need. He has everything. You're his son or daughter, which means now you have everything too. He doesn't need. If you lost somebody recently, that is not from him. Life and life abundantly. Does that line up with that? No. So where'd it come from? There's two choices. But no, he doesn't need angels. And people do this out of a good heart because they don't have an answer for something so traumatic. They want to find something, somewhere to point to when they don't understand. I have been there. I don't get it. There are some things I know I will not understand till I get to heaven. But I know that he gives me life and life abundantly. God doesn't take from you. He gives to you. He gives to you. Hear the wrong thing and believe the wrong thing. Hear the right thing and believe the right thing. This woman heard something about Jesus, and it was something good. I took this this note 2 weeks ago, actually. I'm going to try to find it. Because I was meditating on this, and I thought, wow, that's really good. Here it is. She heard something good because she believed something right. She heard something good. So she believed something right. If you're not believing something right, you haven't heard something good. Just get in the Word of God. Get under sound teaching. Get under sound teaching. If you're like, I have no idea, we will help you. We will help you. But you can, when you hear something good, when I hear that about Jesus, I believe something right. The woman heard something about Jesus, and it was something good. Notice it didn't say she saw him. She hadn't seen his face or even heard him speak or preach or teach or heal. She heard of him before she even saw him. Like the lady with the issue of blood. She had heard something about Jesus. Thank God for a godly friend that told her something good. And she said, that's enough for me to possibly go out and get killed. If I leave here, yeah, it's over for me. But if I don't, and that's true, I'll take my chances. I believe it's true. She believed something about him before she ever saw him. And when she saw him and she approached, she believed before she even saw something that he could do it, that he would do it. What faith? I mean, she's got a backbone. She believed the report she had heard about him. Now, how quick faith can work, just hearing. That's why it's so important that you talk about it, because you never know what you talking about it could ignite in someone to believe for. She heard something good because she believed something right. Then the mother says, my daughter is severely demon possessed, or she's severely vexed. She's troubled by an evil spirit. Now, I have to say, because the daughter is living in this mother's home, her mom has authority. So that's significant. Your kids, you can pray some things to happen in your kids because they're under your authority. So this daughter was still living with her mom. So the daughter, it had nothing to do with her. It was the mom's faith. I wondered, okay, so what's going on in that home? What's going on in that home? For a spirit to attach itself in this young girl, or she went somewhere and something happened, it matters what you let in your home. It matters who you let in your home. It matters what you hear in your home. Parents, this is a very big deal. It matters what your kids see in your home. It matters what they're watching, because what they're watching, they're hearing. And what they're hearing, they're believing. It matters who you let in, because you don't know. You don't know if you've had maybe there's a sitter. I don't even know who this is for or how many parents are in here. If you have a sitter that every time you come home or the next day, your kid's off, they're weird. There's just something in your house that doesn't feel right. Don't hire them again. Kick them out the door. Nice to meet you. Never. We're not going to out. You can love someone and not have closeness with them. You can love someone, you can forgive someone, and they don't have access to you ever again. Be careful who you allow in your home, what you allow in your home. You have authority in your home, not your neighbor's home, your home. This mother, it happened because she had a backbone, she believed, and because she had authority in that house because the daughter was living with her. You can't force things to people's life. Jesus doesn't even do that. He does not force himself on anybody. This girl was under her mother's authority. Now it gets really good here. So her faith could work on behalf of her daughter. That's good news, huh? Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed. Now, this part is, just stick with me because it's good. She didn't say, have mercy on me. She said, have mercy on my daughter. To be delivered from the power or the hold of the devil is a flow of the mercy of God. God is not good because of what he does and because of what he gives, which that's enough. God is good because he's merciful. And even before he was on earth, even before people had ever seen him, there are points in scripture, even before a covenant, you can see, but God's mercy. God's mercy. God's mercy. I taught on that, I think, a few years ago. Maybe I should do it again, but it's incredible how much that's spoken. That things are done out of his mercy. That's just our kids. They're partying. They're having fun. We love a fun kids' church. Noise doesn't bother me, so don't let it bother you, okay? All right. So not only she goes and she says, have mercy on my daughter, But think of the heartbreak of that mother watching her child be tormented like that. And then think of the torment that devil was bringing in that mother's house. She was desperate. It's a hardship on a mother to watch their child suffer. Is it not? I can't describe honestly anything different than if I watch my son suffer, you'll get a whole different person. Moms, would you say that? Dads, would you say that? You mess with my kid. I was going to say something really intense that most of you would not have liked. But I'll come for you. Hard. Loaded. And ready. Okay? She was at this place. She said, "Have mercy, O Lord, Son of David." How many of you are wondering how long it was going to take me to take a drink? Well, you should take a drink too with me. Oh my goodness, it's a miracle. That didn't happen the last time. You just watched me. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Let's hydrate. Here we go. Okay. "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David." I was much funnier last week. This is this one's more intense, but you're ready for it. So she's calling him Lord, but he is not her Lord. This is why she got his response. She's not a Jew. They're not in covenant yet. Remember, and he didn't say anything to her. A little lesson from his mom, perhaps, who didn't say anything to him when she's like, ask him, do what he says. Doesn't say anything. So she's calling him Lord. He's not her Lord. She's not a Jew. She doesn't have a covenant. And she calls him Son of David. Now, that's terminology that a Jew would use. So she says what she thinks he wants to hear for him to be moved to do something for her. And she calls him Son of David. So she had heard of Jesus, and she had heard from that person, they called him, that the Jews called him Lord, Son of David. So she's like, okay, I got it down. That's what I need to say to him. So she pays attention. Got to give it to her. The girl's detailed. She paid attention. But she's taking words a Jew would say and thinks he would want to hear. This is powerful. Sometimes we approach God and we say the things we think he'd like to hear. Or we do the things that he would smile upon, so maybe then he'll do it for me. But he didn't want borrowed words. He didn't want words from someone else's heart. He wanted to hear what she believed about him. Friend, your God wants to know what you believe about him. He wants to know in your heart, what do you believe about me? What do you? And in another one we've learned, what do you think I could do for you? He didn't want to head answer a religious something she wrote down and was like, this is the golden ticket. Here, I heard that I need to say this, and you'll do it. He wanted to hear what was in her heart, what she believed. She was approaching him with borrowed words that don't fit her. Jesus recognizes heart words. Verse 23, but he answered her not a word. He answers her with silence, which to you and I seems a little rude. But he did not do or say anything that his father did not tell him to do or say. Jesus wasn't being rude. He was trying to help her arrive to what she believed in her heart. It looked like Jesus isn't being good. If any of us were there, we'd be like, speak up. You know, did you hear her? Might want to say something. She's talking to you. That's what I tell Merritt all the time. I'm like, hey, I'm talking to you. Spit it out. Jesus, in the Bible, it says that he is only good. So he cannot be anything else. He's never not good. So this moment, although in it, we're reading it and we can see why he said it then, this was happening in real time. Him not answering was a flow of his goodness and mercy. Why? Because he was bringing her to a personal faith of the miracle she needed. He was on purpose he's like, come on, that's not it. Come on, what is it really? Yeah, I know they said that, but you, come here. What do you believe, though? Without saying a word, he's going, I don't answer to what someone else called me. I want to know what you call me. What do you call me? What can you believe about your God? Because what you believe about him is the God you're going to get. You can believe he withholds and things will be withheld. Not out of his doing, but because you limited and you said, this is who God is. When he's going, I don't withhold anything. I don't withhold anything. What's in your heart? What could you believe about me? When Jesus didn't say anything, she went to the disciples. I know that that's like, people may give her a hard time for this. I'm like, you are a persistent girl. You are like, somebody's giving me an answer, which proves she thought that it was a religious thing, which in her culture it was. You had to do something. But she goes, okay, if you're not going to answer me, you guys, answer me. And they're like, hey, Jesus. She keeps calling to us. She's driving us crazy. She's loud. She's following me. Just tell her to go. And this is so profound to me. Because if you're asking God for help, then you believed Jesus was the help. But she also then went and asked the disciples. So she didn't really understand. She didn't know anything. If it looks like something's not working out, don't go to another source. Don't go to another location trying to get help. Follow the word and get back to what you believe in your heart. What do you believe in your heart? I recently had a very large allergic reaction to a medication, and I shared this at the end last week, and not my finest moment. Whatever reason, the Lord has me tell you all of these things instead of like, wow. So I'm good with it, but just know, like, not proud of this one. So I go to the store. I had big allergic reaction. I was like, I'm believing God. I'm like, but I remember this supplement that I had used before that really helped. So I, at the store, I had just prayed with another woman in another aisle. Mind you, this is how quick you can move from the right spot to being an idiot. So you, like, I had just prayed for this woman, and I go, I'm like, where is it? Can't find it. They moved her on the store. I hate it when they do that. I'm like, I came in here to find something, and I know you're doing this to make more money, but I don't have a lot of time at the moment. So I'm looking for it, and I just heard God say, you can try that, or you can try me. I was like, that didn't feel good. You know, that didn't taste good, didn't sound good. Okay, and then all of a sudden I look and I find it. And I reach for it. He goes, and again, you can try that or you can try me. And I went, okay. Walked out the store. But listen to that. You can try that. You can try what she did and try to find answers. Where's my answer? I need this. I need an answer. Or you can just believe him and go, you are who you say you are. You do good and only good. You are a healer. You've already healed. I just have to grab it, hold it, expect it, and act like I have a covenant with you. You will be shocked the miracles that will come into your life when you act like you have a covenant with God, because he honors those who move in faith and know who they are and know that they have a covenant with him. Jesus didn't want her borrowed words. He wanted the truth from her heart. And this is so powerful. He wanted to know what she believed about him. Go with me to 24. But he answered and said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now what she believed in her heart came out. And she said, she started worshiping him. And she said, Lord, help me. You know, sometimes if you can't figure out what to pray, that's one of the strongest ones you can pray. I don't know, God. Help me. Help me. Help me. Don't make it so hard. It doesn't have to be so eloquent. It can be that raw and that true. God, help me. Help me. Jesus didn't answer her until he heard her heart. And that was enough. Help. Help. And he went, there it is. That's your faith. That's not borrowed. When you don't know what to say, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. You know how many times in the night I say that? How many times in the day when I'm with Merritt and I'm like, pull yourself together. Why? I don't know. Stop it. You know, have you ever been overstimulated? There's noise happening everywhere and it's including your child. And then there's just too much. And you're like, everything stop. Just shh. Everybody shh. In those moments, I go, God, help me. Help me. Sometimes it's like that. Help me. If you don't, I'm going to lose it. You know, if you don't help me, it's not going to be good because it's going to be me. I need you, God. I need you to help me. You know, you can say that sometimes if you're in a place that you can't actually say it out loud, you can still say that with your heart. Oh, God, help me. You're in an interview, oh God, help me. You're in a conflict and you don't quite know what to say. God, help me. And immediately, because if it comes from your heart, he will help. He was saying, help, it's on the way. This lady, I have a lot of admiration for, because she had a lot of audacity to go up to him and to push like that. And to push like that. She also says, after he said, let me read it for you so I get it correctly. This was cool. He said, it is not good to take children's bread and throw it to little dogs. And she said this, yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs from the master's table. You're not a little dog. That may sound silly. You are his pride and joy. You are his child. You are the face he sought when he was on the cross. If you'll give mercy and grace and help to a woman with no covenant, what would he do for you? What can you believe he'll do for you? I want you to really take a moment and think about that. What do I believe God can do for me? Now, what do you want God to do for you? And I'm not talking a vein from your mouth, give me $10 million and then I'll know you're God. None of that crap. A real need. Like, you need your son to know Jesus. You need your mom or your coworker or your family to not have cancer. You need a miracle. What is it that you need? Think of the biggest one. You don't have to say a fancy prayer. Just close your eyes right now and say, Lord, help me. I believe you are who you say you are and that I am who you say I am. I believe. You can open your eyes. I want you to get a vision. Go see that person. Go see whatever it is that you need. For me, I need a washer and dryer this week. Ours kaputzed. Colin, it was an interesting night for him. He took the whole thing apart. Yeah. And then turned it on. He's like, it works. And then 3 minutes later, he's like, ah! That's all he said, by the way. There was nothing else that came after the, ah! And I just stopped. In moments like that, normally I would be so like, what are we going to do? Oh my gosh, we have this, that. That was not in the plan. Lord, help me. The stupidest thing is not dumb to him. If you need it, he cares about it. It says he cares about even the smallest things, but he also cares about the really big ones. He cares that my dad's healed. He cares if the certain person next to you is healed. He cares that you have joy and not depression. He cares that you do not suffer from whatever they tell you you have at the doctor. He cares about it. My question is, do you believe he'll do something about it? I believe he's going to do something about it. I and my dad believes, I don't even care if he believes, because I know I do. Now, he does. I know my mom does, but I take into consideration the other person that you're praying for doesn't even care. But you do. So he does. Would you stand with me to your feet today? Listen, this was a different message, and there's a lot I didn't talk about that I'll get to next week that it will help you. But I for a moment, first want to give you, if you'll bow your head and close your eyes, if you've never asked Jesus to become Lord and Savior of your life, this was something that in this story, she didn't even have the option. Yet he went to the cross so that she would, and so you would. And he will not force you. Who wants somebody forced to love you and want to be with you? Nobody. He died. Now hear me. He died even at the chance you would say, I don't want to know you. And it was only you he saw on the cross. He would have still done it just to show you, I love you. I choose you. Help is coming. Help is here. You can have a covenant. If you've never said that, and I mean, you cannot remember a time when you asked verbally and you meant it in your heart for Jesus to become Lord and Savior, I'm going to give you that opportunity. It says that he knocks and knocks your whole life. He will be knocking on your heart. And all we have to do, which is incredible because it should be a lot more, but he paid the price. All we have to do is open a door. Say, God, I choose you. Help me. I'm going to give you the words. You're going to give it the meaning. Because that's what it really, if I give you words and you don't mean it, that's exactly what this story was. I need you to mean it. I need you to believe God will come. That Jesus is the moment we say amen, the moment he's invited, he will enter your heart and you will be saved and nothing can take it from you. The church is going to say this out loud because we're faith friends in this church. Say, dear Jesus, I believe you are who you say you are. And that I can be everything you say I can be. I leave my past behind. Forgive me. I choose you. Come into my heart. Be Lord of my life. Be Savior of my life. From this moment forward, I just got my keys. And I'm in charge. And I may be in this world, but this world obeys me. Because I'm your child. Amen. Amen. Give them a round of applause. All of heaven is rejoicing. All of heaven is rejoicing. Can you picture that? That's wild to me. Can you imagine how loud that is? I'm sure God has to kind of be like, he has to put like a dome over us so that we can't hear it. It's probably that loud. I would love to hear it. I would love to hear it. I'm not going to let you leave without giving you the chance to accept the free gift that comes along with being his child, and that's the Holy Spirit, and I would not get through one day, one hour, one second without him. He is that wisdom, that knowing, that You can explain it, but he's that discernment when you need discernment. He is that help. He'll give you, says, a heavenly language that only Jesus can understand. And I think that really ticks off the devil, and that's my favorite thing to do. And that's a free gift. I'm going to pray with you. And those of you that want to receive it, receive him. Begin speaking. May sound like a baby word at first. Marinate on it. Marinate on it. And more will come. 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 You have to believe that. More will come. Say, Jesus, you died for me. I'm now your child. And I accept my free gift. Holy Spirit, be my helper. Everything you said you'd be, I expect you to be. And I believe as I open my mouth, a heavenly language is going to come out. And when I need wisdom, you will speak. And when I need guidance, you will speak. And when I need help, you will help. Amen. Love you, church, so much. This week, write somewhere on your mirror, I don't care where it is, but somewhere obnoxious that you're going to see it, that you're going to have the itch, if you're a cleaner like me, to wipe down. Put it somewhere obnoxious and say, I believe. I believe. If it's something and you need to pray that, Lord, help me, put that with it. But you better put, I believe. Amen. And he will help you. Amen. He will help you. He will help you. Amen. Love you, church. Part two next week. Get here. Get here. Get here. Say, I'm coming. All right. I believe you. I'll see you next week. Grab a CD of last week if you didn't get it. If you do podcasts, that's great. If you need a CD and you don't have money for it, I'll buy you one. But grab it.
Thanks again for joining us for the Liberty Church podcast. If you have prayer requests, you can always email those prayer requests at prayer@libertyofomaha.com. And we love to hear your praise reports. Email those at amen@libertyofomaha.com. For more information on Liberty Church, visit us at libertyofomaha.com. Thanks so much for joining us, and have a great day.